Welcome to the Middle East Report. Each week, we connect you to the people, places in the land of Israel, and we break through the lies and deceptions of the news media when it comes to Israel and the Middle East to bring you truthful reporting on what's happening in that region of the world. A lot of breaking news this past week coming out of the land of Israel. And I'm looking at a headline right now, Israel and Hamas, ceasefire now in effect, hostages to return within 72 hours. And as you know, Israel has faced 2 years of war in Gaza after October 7, 2023, when Hamas demonic terrorists came across the border and slaughtered 1,200 Israelis, took 250 hostages into Gaza, brought them into tunnels. Many of these hostages were killed on the spot. And of course, some of those bodies are still in Gaza right now, as well as some of the living hostages. And so this ceasefire that is now in effect means that these hostages will come back, and we're not sure exactly the timing of this. Some believe it'll probably be on Monday. Some of that could be happening this weekend, even as we are broadcasting today here on the Middle East Report. This ceasefire was brokered by President Donald Trump, and he deserves a lot of the credit, along with the negotiating team that went into Egypt to force Hamas to agree to this ceasefire arrangement. But what does this ceasefire arrangement mean for Israel? Well, I want to just share with you something from Barry Siegel. Barry Siegel is the president of Vision for Israel. It's an organization that does so much for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Barry Siegel lives in Israel with his family, and he put together a very nice report on the 21 points of the ceasefire that is now in effect.
Now, Israel needs this war to end, too, for all kinds of reasons. Our economy is in very bad shape, with many people out of work, especially in the tourism industry. The IDF itself is also tired after being mobilized for 2 years. If this war ends, the IDF could release tens of thousands of reservists and begin to repair, refit, restock, reorganize, and re-whatever else they need to do. The IDF was never meant to be mobilized for more than a few weeks or months at a time to fight very intense wars that beat back the threats to Israel and restore security quickly. Now, this current war, which started 2 years ago this week on October 7, 2023, has pushed the IDF far beyond the limits of what it is designed to do. Many of the threats that have been hanging over Israel's head for a long time have been dealt with in this war, and that's all to the good. But the fact that remains that the IDF is just simply tired, not exhausted, but tired, and it needs a break and it needs support, kind of the rest of the Israeli society does as well. So I'll talk about that more in a moment, but for now, it's enough for you to understand that the end of this war will be a very good thing for everyone except, of course, Iran, which is the big loser in this conflict. Now let's look at what's right in front of us. Now, many of you probably haven't heard what the actual 21 points are in the 21-point plan. Here are the 21 points. First, the IDF must cease all offensive operations and only act in self-defense if attacked. This condition has already been met by Israel, even before Hamas formally agreed to negotiations. Next, the Gaza Strip will become a demilitarized area free of terror that will not constitute a threat to its neighbors. It will also be redeveloped for the benefit of its residents who have suffered enough. Fourth, if both sides agree to the proposal, the war will end immediately. IDF forces will withdraw to an agreed line in order to prepare for the release of the hostages. Now, during this period, all military actions will cease, including aerial and artillery bombings, and the lines of fighting will be frozen until the conditions are met for a gradual and full withdrawal. Within 72 hours from the moment Israel publicly declares acceptance of the agreement, all the living hostages will be released, although Hamas says it might take some time for the remains of hostages who died in captivity to be found, collected, and returned. Sadly, I can believe this last part, as some of the hostages died months ago or even longer, and their remains were buried in a shallow grave somewhere or simply left in a tunnel under a building that was later destroyed in the fighting. In a war, chaos and confusion are often the only consistent themes, and so when Hamas says they lost track of some of these remains, it is likely that just this once they're telling the truth. If they are at all. Now, moving on to the sixth point in the plan, after the release of all the hostages, Israel will release security prisoners, including 250 serving life sentences for very serious crimes, and I'm very sad about this part. Hamas is reportedly demanding that these include some of the very worst of the worst, most dangerous terrorist leaders who have been imprisoned for a long time, but not long enough. This includes Marwan Barghouti, who has been in prison for 23 years, has learned to speak, read, and write Hebrew while in prison. He has also managed to become the most popular choice on the Palestinian street to succeed Mahmoud Abbas as the next leader of the Palestinian Authority. Now I'm going to switch to commentary mode for a moment and say something which might shock some and probably get me some pushback, but here it is. It might not be a bad idea for Israel to release Marwan Barghouti at this time. Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, is almost 90 years old and in poor health. He's not going to be in the picture much longer, and someone's going to have to replace him. Now, Barghouti is probably the only figure with enough credibility on the Palestinian street to do it. And as awful as it would be to have this murderous, ugly terrorist in charge of the PA, the other option is for the PA to fall apart and then we'll have complete anarchy in the West Bank, which would be much worse from Israel's perspective. Now, Israel is already having to devote considerable resources to helping the PA manage the problems it already has, particularly in Jenin and Tulkarem north of Jerusalem. But again, Marwan Barghouti has lots of blood on his hands, and the worst that can happen to him is that he will die in the next bombardment against the Palestinian Authority should they turn to suicide terrorism and other forms of terrorism. This world is deeply imperfect and messy, and there are seldom good choices. It's much more common for there to be a bunch of lousy options, and you just have to pick the one that you think you have the best chance of managing the fallout from it. This is one such situation, for better or for worse. Now, getting back to the 21 points, Hamas is also demanding the release of 1,700 Gazan residents who were arrested after October 7, 2023. That includes some who are suspected of having taken part in the massacre, so that could be very problematic. 7. After the release of all the hostages, Hamas members who commit to coexistence and peace will be given the option to lay down their arms and receive amnesty. Whoever wishes to leave the Gaza Strip will be granted the option of safe passage to receiving countries. I hope they're a long way away from us. Following this step, large shipments of aid will immediately flow to the Gaza Strip. Water, electricity, and sewage infrastructure will begin to be repaired, as well as hospitals, bakeries, etc. The distribution of this aid will be done by the UN. Can you believe it? With the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation being essentially kicked out. Everyone knows that the GHF was doing a great job, which was very embarrassing to the UN, which failed repeatedly and is accused of open collaboration with Hamas. I guess the UN managed to convince President Trump it was more important to keep them happy than to actually get the job done. We'll see if they can do better going forward, but I'm not holding my breath. Next, the Gaza Strip will be managed temporarily by a Palestinian technocratic and an apolitical committee that will provide daily services and operate under the oversight of a new transitional international body called the Peace Council. Shalom, everybody. Headed by President Donald Trump. That's good. Along with former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair. That last detail is very strange to me, but whatever. This Peace Council will be in charge until the PA is prepared to come in and manage the situation, which will probably take a very long time. On that note, the next point is that a special economic zone will also be established with preferential tariffs and access arrangements to be set with participating countries. 12th on the list of points is that no one will be required to leave Gaza. That's a shame. But anyone who wants to will be able to exit and return. Next, Hamas and other factions will commit not to participate in any way in the administration of Gaza. All terror infrastructures will be destroyed and not be rebuilt, and the demilitarization process will be managed under international supervision. In this context, regional partners will provide guarantees for Hamas and the faction's compliance with their commitments and to ensure that the new Gaza Strip will not constitute a threat. Also, the 15th point says that the United States will work with Arab and international partners to establish a temporary international stabilization force to be called ISF, which will immediately enter the Gaza Strip. Now, the force will train and support Palestinian police forces and will coordinate its activity with Jordan and Egypt to secure the borders and prevent weapons smuggling while arranging the safe passage of goods. If you can believe that will happen. Next, Israel commits to not occupy or annex Gaza. As the international force establishes control and stability, the IDF will withdraw according to milestones and conditions to be set between the IDF, the international force, Arab states, and the United States, under full handover of the Gaza Strip to them. Only a peripheral security presence will be maintained until it is completely ensured that there is no more terror threat from the Gaza Strip. So if Hamas delays or rejects this proposal, the arrangement and aid will continue in terror-free areas that are transferred from IDF control to the international force. Next, and to my mind, this one is a bit of a joke, but the 18th point is that an interfaith dialogue process will begin on values of tolerance and partnership to change narratives among Palestinians and Israelis to emphasize the benefits of peace. Shalom. 19th on this list is that as Gaza's development progresses and the Palestinian Authority reform is implemented, conditions will be created for a credible path to Palestinian self-determination and statehood. And 20th, the United States will hold a dialogue between Israel and the Palestinians to agree on a political horizon for coexistence of peace and prosperity, and they shall live happily ever after. Now, the 21st point has not been publicly released. And everyone is wondering what it is, so am I. It seems obvious to me that this mystery 21st point is that Israel will commit to not annexing Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank. Now, I'm sure many in Israel and many Christian supporters of this country will be very upset by this, but I actually don't think that's necessary, because if you look at all the points on this list, many of them are likely to be temporary and probably they'll be quietly dropped and forgotten at some point as circumstances change. There's no reason to think that this mystery 21st point, if it is an Israeli commitment not to annex Judea and Samaria, or if it's something else, will become eternally set in stone either. Now, there's one thing I am quite sure of, and that's the fact that even if these negotiations are successful and the war ends this week or maybe early next week, the people of Israel are going to need a lot of help recovering from this war. The economy will likely see some bounce back when peace is formally announced, and if the Abraham Accords proceed as they were on track to before the war started, that will even be better. But that's all in the medium to long-term future, and there are thousands of families in Israel in financial distress right now. That's why Vision for Israel is working harder than we've ever worked before to support these families and communities.
That's Barry Siegel, the founder of Vision for Israel, and I want to encourage you to connect with Vision for Israel. They're doing an amazing work there in the land of Israel to touch and encourage families who have been through so much trauma, so much there over the last 2 years with these wars there in Israel, and they need a lot of help. They need a lot of support, and Vision for Israel is doing that in so many different ways. And so you can connect with them when you go to visionforisrael.com, visionforisrael.com. You can find out how you can bless families there in Israel. It's an organization that you can definitely trust. That's visionforisrael.com. I encourage you to check that out and find out how you and your family can be a blessing to the families there in the land of Israel. You're listening to the Middle East Report, and we continue now with Fred Jackson, who is the news director for American Family News, to give us some analysis on this peace plan Fred, I'm looking at the headline here. Israel and Hamas ceasefire now in effect. Hostages to return within 72 hours. So I wanted to invite you in here to give us your analysis on all of this stuff that's happened here this past week.
Yeah, a big week. And congratulations to President Trump and his team. A lot of people were very skeptical that we would get to this point. And I guess that is the point we need to talk to. This is part one of many, many, many parts. Listen, we will celebrate when we see those 20 hostages being released and they are back with their families. I cannot imagine for a moment what these families have suffered through over the last 2 years. So it is a time of celebration for phase one, if this comes off. As we're doing this interview, that is the hope, that it will take place sometime over the next couple of days, maybe Sunday, maybe Monday, they say, maybe even Tuesday. There's a bit of a delay because part of this phase one is not only the release of the 20 living hostages, but also the return of the bodies of the 28 who they believe are deceased. And now, according to Hamas, and we always have to be very careful about accepting what they say, Hamas says they're having some difficulty locating those bodies, and they're kind of blaming Israel because they say those bodies are underneath the buildings that Israel bombed. So that being what it is, if we get those 20 living hostages out, that will be plenty of reason to celebrate. I think in the days to come, should that be accomplished, the other phases may be more difficult because some of those talk about the de-radicalizing of Gaza. Well, again, lofty goals. However, those of us who have watched and observed this story for many years now, the radicalization of the Palestinian people has been going on for a long, long time. John, you and I have talked about Michelle Bachmann when she went to Israel, when she was a member of Congress. That's a long time ago. She went into the Palestinian area, looked at the school books, what the kids were being taught, and they were being taught to hate the Jews. So now we have first and second generations of people being taught that the Israelis are the problem. It's why the Palestinian people are poor. They suffer, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not sure you can just turn that around with some kind of treaty. This is going to take some time. I do get concerned about the makeup, the composition of what this group that's going to run Gaza. Now, President Trump and maybe former British Prime Minister Tony Blair are going to head this committee, commission, whatever they're calling it. However, there are going to be other members of that commission, which may include representatives of the existing government in the West Bank. And so I don't think they have changed their mindset about Israel. So as I say, let's celebrate phase one. I'm all for that, but I think we should be prepared, keep our eyes open, keep our ears open for the rest of this deal.
I'm wondering if, and this may already be in the works, if Turkey is going to be a part of this group that's going to try to help manage all of this. And we know that the head of Turkey has said that Hamas is not a terrorist organization. So that's, I don't know if they're going to be involved in this.
Yeah, Erdogan is no respecter or lover of Israel. So, you know, there's this old phrase, you got to be careful with it, making deals with the devil. And let's keep in mind, these countries that were sitting in the negotiations in Egypt over the last several days, these are countries that do not love Israel. You mentioned Turkey, Erdogan of Turkey. I'm very skeptical about him. You have the Qataris who were sitting at that negotiating table. Yes, the United States has a military presence in Qatar. However, the Qataris have played host to the Hamas leadership over the last several years. They have allowed these Hamas leaders to live in luxury in Qatar. So we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful of the public statements that these leaders may make versus how they have behaved in the past. We need to be cautious as these days proceed.
You know, what is Israel giving up as a result of the ceasefire? And I'm looking at, you know, one of the things in this peace plan here is that once all the hostages are released, Israel will release 250 life sentence prisoners plus 1,700 Gazans who were detained after October 7, 2023. So we're talking about some very bad people that are going to be released, you know, back into society that Israel has agreed to, but they have to do this to get those hostages back.
Yes. And sadly, this has been the practice of Israel through the years, you know, to get the body of one Israeli soldier back. They released 1,000 or 1,500 Palestinians that have been in custody for doing some very bad things. These 250 that you mentioned, these are people who have already been convicted of killing Israelis, and they're being told they must give those people up. You're right, John. Where are these people going? Are they going to be able to move back into Gaza? And are they going to benefit from the supposed rebuilding of Gaza? You know, President Trump has called Gaza the Riviera of the Mediterranean. And that's a whole other story. Is President Trump, a real estate developer, going to be involved in that? It could be. So I'm like you. I'm very concerned. Okay, release those 250 really, really, really bad guys. And where are they going? And if you think for a moment that they're just going to go off and get a rocking chair somewhere and retire, think again.
We're talking to Fred Jackson, who is the news director for American Family News. Please go to AFN.net. AFN.net for the latest news and information, whether on Israel or any other things going on in the world and in our country, AFN.net. If you go to AFN.net, under the category tab there, you'll see Israel and the Middle East, and you can get all the latest and great stories on Israel and the Middle East. One of the other things in the peace plan here, Fred, is that it says Hamas and other factions will agree to not have any role or governance in Gaza. We talked a little bit about that. But it also says that all of the terror and offensive infrastructure, including tunnels, weapons, and production facilities, will be destroyed and not rebuilt. How in the world are they going to do that, Fred? There's, you know, hundreds of miles of tunnels under there. Israel has been in there for 2 years. They've not been able to do it. How are they going to do this?
No, and that's my fear as we move through this, is that everybody knows that over the last 10 years, at least 10, 15 years, the aid that Gaza was receiving was not going to help the Gazan people. It was going to buy cement to build tunnels. So that is all there. We can hope. I mean, Israel has been very good at detecting where, because these tunnels, some of them were going into Israeli turf. So they've been able to detect some of these, but they're buried deep. Some of these tunnels, a lot of people think tunnels, okay, that's something you crawl through. No, they have tunnels that you can drive cars through, folks. We call them terrorists, and we see pictures from Gaza. We see pictures from places like Jericho and others. These they're very evil, but they're very sophisticated. They're trained engineers. They're medical people. So be very careful about the image you get in your mind of people in Gaza. They are very capable. Yes, they're smart, but they're smart sometimes in a very bad way. So just be mindful of that.
Let's turn our attention to what the United States is going to do there in Israel. I understand that we're going to send 200 U.S. troops there to kind of help enforce this of some sort, part of CENTCOM. What do you know about that?
Well, my understanding is they're there to, for instance, help in the distribution of food, help in the kind of the initial stages of the rebuild, any aid that's going to pour into, and you'll see billions of dollars of aid going in there. So that's my understanding. They are not there necessarily to back up the Israeli Defense Forces, that kind of thing. My understanding is that they're going to be on the Israeli side of that border. They're not even going to be going into that area where IDF is still going to be for some time. So very much a supportive role, John, not in any kind of active role. Now, that is the intention up front. So that's why we have to monitor the situation there on a day-by-day basis, because things can change very quickly.
Now, President Trump is expected to appear in Israel, and I understand he might speak to the Israeli Knesset. What do you think he's going to say? I know he's going to be well-received there, for sure.
He's going to be well-received. It's going to be a time of celebration. So I think what's going to happen, it's going to be a big celebration. I think Trump wants to be there as those hostages are released. It's going to be tremendous photo op for these politicians. That's what it's going to be. And President Trump does deserve credit for making this happen. Again, we all should celebrate the release of these hostages, but I think what you're going to see, I think if he's going to be there Sunday or Monday, President Trump, that is, it'll be a time of celebration. But where it goes from there, as I say, Trump is going to be heading this commission to oversee the next phases. We're just going to monitor this on a day-by-day basis.
That's Fred Jackson, the director for American Family News. And again, we just want to encourage you to go to AFN.net. AFN.net, you can get so much information there. The news team does a tremendous job of keeping you and your family informed. And you can click on the category tab, and then you'll see Israel and the Middle East, that section there, and you can go there. Fred, thank you so much. And of course, we always like to remind our listeners to please pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for everything that's going on there. That's so very, very important. We absolutely do not discount that. Fred, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate all that you guys do with the news team.
You're welcome, John.
As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to encourage you to plan on attending a very, very important conference that's going to be happening in November. Does Israel Matter for Jesus and the Gospel? And I want to encourage you to mark your calendar now to attend this very important event that's going to happen in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at Regent University, November 13th and 14th. And they have a lot of incredible speakers. Susan Michaels, who is with the International Christian Embassy, just an incredible organization. She will be there as well. And many, many others, including Aaron Free of Israel Team Advocates. And again, this is happening at Regent University, Virginia Beach, Virginia, November 13th and 14th. And you and your family are invited to attend. Registration is limited. If you want to find out more details on this, check out regent.edu/Does Israel Matter. Again, for more information, visit regent.edu/Does Israel Matter. That's the Middle East Report. Thanks for listening. Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast or at AFR.net. I'm John Riley.